Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. And GoPSURV.com has a special offer just for our Keystone Kickoff listeners. Go to our app, Keystone Sports. There's a button where you could enter to win a free RV for the weekend for the first home game versus Ball State. It's great. All you do is drive to Happy Valley, and there's an RV all prepped and ready for you for the entire weekend. Hurry up and enter, as we're going to have the drawing for our winner in just a couple weeks. For more info, you could go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467. It's quarter number one. I am Jim Galante, joined by Andy Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, you ready to do a review of some of the news?
Yes, sir. I am ready to go. It's getting closer to camp, so we definitely have a full, our buffet table is full for this. Let's just say that.
All right, let's start eating at the buffet, Andy. Let's start where we've always been starting. Let's start with recruiting. And now, as we approach the end of July, you know, we've been talking for months about going into June, where players could start making official visits or make visits at all on campus. And June was going to be this crazy busy month. We said, then look out for July for the commitments. And Andy, they are in double figures with commitments here in July. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this with Penn State recruiting.
So you've never seen anything like this in Penn State recruiting on the good side. You've never seen anything like this in Penn State recruiting under James Franklin during the pandemic, right? I mean, let's just be honest. It was bad, right? There's a element and a side that makes James Franklin one of the best, if not the best, program recruiter in the country. I'm going to say what I think. I think he is arguably the best. I would really, really, at selling what he's selling in person. There's an in-person element to James Franklin that is just gravitating to people. In the pandemic, of course, they did all their due diligence and worked and did their Zooms and recruited. Look at the results speak for themselves, because like when recruits, you know, as we've been getting stories, when recruits get to go up there for that in-person visit, they get a lot of FaceTime with James Franklin as the head coach. And that's part of James's DNA as a recruiter. And that's part of James's DNA, the person who likes that personal relationship, their moms, the grandmothers, the players, they get a lot of FaceTime with James. And it kind of is something that stands out to players and their families, that James is around a lot. Like they don't really expect the head coach to be around that lot that much. And James isn't doing that as sort of a tool. James is doing that because that's inherently what fills James up as the you know, sort of the CEO of the program and the main recruiter. That is right in his wheelhouse. And that is the reason why June was always going to be quiet, because James was just refiring the engines for him and his mostly new look staff to a degree. I mean, half of his coaching staff was new during the pandemic and since, and they hadn't really had a chance to recruit as in a traditional way. If you're surprised by this, then you just don't know how good James Franklin is. I'm not surprised at all that it looks like this, because I just knew that it was such a huge loss for him to not be able to have in-person visits with people in the recruiting process and to use that to help entice players to come to Penn State, that I figured once he was back in his element, game on.
Now, you know, we talk about James Franklin and his ability to recruit. And again, I don't care how good a recruiter you are. There are some players who are just going to gravitate to Alabama, to Ohio State. They're all about playing on Sundays, and that's probably the best route to get there. So then it becomes, all right, can James Franklin and his staff compete at that level? And I'm not sure that they'll ever reach Ohio State's level of recruiting, but to win where James Franklin wants to be, they still have to win some of these really top guys. I'm doing this long thing to get to deny Dennis Sutton, who this past week committed. Now, we've been talking about him all week, Andy, but what I want to know from you is how important is it to get a guy at this high a level, and most importantly, you beat out a Georgia and an Alabama to get this kid?
Yeah, I thought geography was always going to play a factor, and I also think, you know, to get a player who's, you know, like he's a number one, you know, split, you know, what you call split defense, SDE, the standing DN. He's that number one in his class. He's a top 15 player by Rivals overall. That's a special player. And I think geography did play a role in it. But I also think that another factor was, I think there is opportunity for him that is significantly greater on the field at Penn State, you know, sooner than later. So there's an off-field value of being one of the top players in his class, and clearly the, you know, the sort of the poster child of who's the best player in what's going to be a really good class. And also there's a great opportunity for him, the player, to contribute sooner than later. And I think the combination of those two gave Penn State the ability to land sort of their signature, you know, sort of poster child of this class. So it's very, very important for Penn State to get him from a recruiting standpoint in terms of the optics. But for me, it was always about the opportunity that he would have at Penn State to be on the field contributing much sooner than later. I think that's very, very, very important to me because it's a position of need.
It is. It fills a lot of things, but I think also just that indicator that they can compete with the very best teams and win in a recruitment. Andy, our week wouldn't be complete without talking a little bit about name, image, and likeness. And we talked about this a little bit off air, but Sean Clifford, well, he's made his entry into the name, image, likeness arena. He had an autograph session in Harrisburg, and he's not going to get rich off that autograph session, but I'm not sure anyone could have any problem with this kind of dealing where he gets to be in front of the fans, make a few dollars, maybe he makes $1,000 or two. Could that bother anybody?
The rule is constructed, I don't see why anybody would have a problem with it. I don't think they had a problem getting Penn State fans, to the restaurant in Mechanicsburg where he came and made his appearance. They certainly didn't have any problem getting people to line up to get him to, you know, sign for them. So, you know, they would do it at times anyway, where they wouldn't get any value proposition out of it. And it's the first one, you know, for a big name Penn State guy, because Sean's the quarterback, right? Sean's been the quarterback. He's the QB1. And so it's the first time that, you know, you've had a Penn State player's had the ability to do this. And then if you begrudge him the money for, you know, the whatever he made for signing those autographs for, you know, an hour or two or however long he was there, then shame on you. That's just all I got to say about it. If you begrudge him for doing that and he's allowed to do it, then you should look at yourself in the mirror and figure out what your problem is.
Well, I think there are people who see name, image, and likeness as the beginning of the apocalypse for college football for some reason. This is the type of event where, no, I don't think anyone could have an issue with it. And I'm kind of using that, though, Andy, as a prelude to the next part of the name, image, and likeness discussion. And that's a player by the name of Quinn Ewers. Now, if our listeners aren't familiar with that name, he is a member of Ohio State class of 22, which means he's going to be a senior in high school this year, enter college then next year. Well, that was the normal plan. We've been used to players graduating high school a little bit early, entering college in January to get a little bit of a head start. Well, Ewer's plan, or potential plan, is to graduate this summer, be ready to start with the class of 21, enter Ohio State actually 1 year early, and that's an amazing enough story, but his reasoning for this is name, image, and likeness, because he can't use name, image, and likeness as a Texas high school football player, but obviously he can in college, and him graduating a full year early and entering college, it may be worth up to $1 million to the kid. Now, we mentioned how innocent the Sean Clifford autograph session was. What do you think of this, though?
Yeah, let's go from local to national, right? Let's go from a regional to a national level on this, and just say that it kind of doesn't surprise me. I mean, isn't he like he's the number one quarterback? Isn't he like one of the top recruits in the country? If not,
number one, service has him as the absolute number one player in the country.
Right. So there you go. And it when we talked about this when it's came out, we were like, it's gonna impact recruiting huge. We know it. The rich will probably get richer. And this is not a surprise at all. I'm gonna say it's not a surprise. I mean, there's a value proposition to giving up your senior year of high school, like it's called life, but that's a choice you get to make, and if the money's more important to you, and there might be a need that we don't know about, but if that's what's important to you and Ohio State is okay with it and he can do it, start cashing in on your name, image, and likeness if that's what is, you know, your priority. And you're going to see more of this. I'm sure of it. Or I'd be surprised if we didn't.
Well, a couple quick points on it. His family doesn't need the money. He's actually pointed out that's the case. He called it a matter of principle. Again, as an individual, I think he's got every right to do this. He truly does.
Sure.
And you know what? If my kid had potential for $1 million, I'd say, hey, go for it. But the question becomes, what is going to be the long-term effect on college football? You know, it was new recently for a player to leave, you know, in January to enter early. Now they're talking about a full year early. Question becomes, where does it end? All right, Andrew P., that is it for quarter number one. Ross joins us in quarter number two for Tucker's Tape. Stick around for that. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.